This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Poirier for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5 Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
And welcome to another episode of Let's Talk Adults. My name is Glenn King. I am a porn director and porn producer, been doing it for about 18 years, and I'm here to bring you adult entertainment talk for the adult entertainment curious, interviewing some of the best and brightest and hottest people in the adult entertainment industry. Before we get started, a couple things that I want to mention. Number one, my co-host, Jim Williams, is in the hospital today. He's got some sort of emergency ailment, and I want everybody out there to please give him a thought or a prayer or a mental shout-out. Good vibes help. And secondly, I want to mention, this is a little bit unusual for me, but we're going to go completely off topic. There is a new book out by the great author M.K. Gibson. The book is called Villain's Deception, and it is book 3 in the Shadow Master series. MK is a tremendous author. I love the Shadow Master series. It's about a villain and it's hilarious. So it's kind of like a, I don't know, Darth Vader rules the world type thing, but great books. And in the new book, Shadow Master, Villain's Deception, they actually mention me and my website, meanbitches.com. So giving a shout out back, I promise you, if you try this series out, you will love it. Now, let's get down to business here. I'm going to go off on a rant here for a moment, so bear with me, people. It gets to a point. A few days ago, somebody asked me on my Curious Cat, that's where people can ask me questions and answers, they said, why do we call adult talent models sometimes instead of performers? And my answer was, that's how the industry started out. Back in the 70s and 80s, females would apply to a modeling agency, and World Modeling was kind of the most famous. They had a big sign up on Van Nuys Boulevard in Los Angeles and an advertisement that said figure modeling. So then beautiful women would apply there, and most of the time they would get print model opportunities, like magazines. And then in many cases, they would go on from doing magazines to doing porn. And if you look at the boom portion of our industry, the 70s and 80s, what happened was we as an industry discovered amazing women who were stunningly beautiful, whom if you passed them in the grocery store or on the street or whatever, you would turn your head and stare. They really stood out in a crowd. I'm talking about people like Marilyn Chambers, who was actually a model who did Ivory soap commercials before she got into porn. People like Ginger Lynn, Christy Canyon, Vanessa Del Rio. Remember the Vivid girls from the 90s who were absolutely stunning Barbie dolls. But then we as an industry kind of strayed from the philosophy of finding these incredible women. And it cost us. And kind of what happened was a lot of the production companies just found it was cheaper and easier and quicker to just go out and find an 18-year-old who was, you know, fresh off running away from her home in Iowa and just film some kind of teen runaway video. And there's a market for it, so I'm not complaining. But the problem is that now we're in this time where porn is so prevalent. It's available everywhere. It's on tube sites. It's just so easy to find. And a lot of the production companies aren't making the kind of money that they once did. And so they complain, well, that's because porn is free in so many areas. But part of the reality is that we did it to ourselves because porn has started to look all alike. every scene kind of looks like the scene before. So of course somebody will just take it for free instead of paying for what's new. And that brings me to my guest here today, because we have to try to find, as an industry, we have to go back to finding women who stand out in a crowd. We need to find women who are models, who are potentially models, who have beautiful, stunning faces and curves and bodies, and just people who you look at, women who you look at and go, that girl is out of my league. She is just amazingly dreamy, and I just want to stand and stare and slobber and drool. And that is why I have found somebody for you guys who is an up-and-comer in the industry, who is stunningly beautiful, and who, if you saw, so everybody's going to go look her up, you will stop and stare and drool. And that lady is Amber Alina. How's that for an intro?
You like that? Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Good. All right. Did I pronounce your name correctly?
You did. Amber Alina. It's great.
Very good.
You can just call me Amber.
Amber. Hi, Amber. All right. So we're going to sort of dig in and find out about you here. I'm going to ask you about how you got started in the industry and your career and how it's led you into porn. And then we're going to ask about those giant boobs of yours. So let's have some fun here. Let's start out with your cam shows. Now, I see you have profiles on both My Free Cams and on StreamMate. Looks like you're doing StreamMate more these days.
Yeah. When I started camming, my camiversary is actually this month in April. I started 3 years ago camming, and I did a bunch of different cam sites just to see which one fit for me. And yeah, it's true. Right now, I stream on StreamMate the most. I am also on MFC, not as often, but I'm still on there too a little bit.
Well, happy camiversary. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
So tell me about how you got started doing cam shows.
Well, I honestly actually started with a normal job. I used to be a hostess at a restaurant. Yeah. I did not know anything about the adult industry. I didn't know that cam girls existed. I didn't know anything. And someone one day when I was hosting mentioned to me about being a stripper, actually.
Yeah.
So actually being a stripper was my entry point into becoming a cam girl, because when I was stripping, that's when I heard about camming, and it really got me interested in it. And that's actually how that started. I left the stripper world to try camming, and I fell in love with it. So that's how that started for me.
Well, what did you not like about stripping?
I'll say what I did like, because I actually had a lot of fun. I really liked that I could set my own hours. I liked being my own boss. I liked, at that time, I really enjoyed working at night so that I could wake up and do whatever I wanted for the rest of the day. So it started off as something really positive for me. But when I heard about camming, I thought that it was, for me personally, more beneficial, because I could still set my own hours and be my own boss, just like a stripper, but it was safer. I can stay at home. And that, to me, was worth it, to leave stripping and start camming at home. That's the main reason that I became a cam girl. I just liked the privacy of it and to just do my own thing. And nobody really, you know, nobody really knows what I'm doing. And, you know, it just was really awesome for me.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things we emphasize on this show over and over again is that being a webcam artist is a valid job these days. It is the best option in many cases for females and males all over the country. And we have to stop. Yeah. We have to take away the stigma that we seem to have attached to it, where banks kind of look at you funny if you tell them that you're, you know, you made your money as doing online cam shows and Skype shows and so on.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I wish the stigma would disappear from camming, because in my opinion, if it did, I think more women would be cam girls, but because of the stigma of going to a bank or trying to rent a place and trying to do things the right way as a cam girl, it's really difficult to just tell anybody that because of the stigma.
Right.
So
right.
I think a lot of girls do go back to stripping or other methods in the adult industry because it's just, you know, one of those reasons that needs to be addressed. But I definitely agree. I think if the stigma went away, that it would be a lot easier for sure.
Right. Right. If I had a daughter, I would be delighted to find out that she was doing webcam shows because I know that she would be making a living, which is the important thing.
Yeah, and it's safer.
Absolutely. You know, when I had, so I used to have a radio show on Playboy Spice Radio, and we had a performer who came in, Daisy Ducati, who told me that when she was a stripper, it sort of helped her evolve into being a dom because she had all these guys that came in and wanted these different fetishes and stuff. And Daisy actually demonstrated her femdom, her domination dance on me in studio a few times. But I'm wondering if that helped you prepare you for the kind of guys that wanted cam shows and all of the weird and interesting and fun fetishes that they're into.
Oh my gosh, yes. I will always appreciate the fact that I started off as a stripper. I love that I did. I think that if I had started off as a cam girl first, for me personally, I don't think that would have been the best because starting off as a stripper, I had to embrace my body, you know, being right there under the spotlight. Everybody can see you. It sounds really scary, but it also helped shape me into having the confidence that I have and meeting all kinds of women and all kinds of men. That helped me to get online and understand how to cater to so many different personalities and so many different types of fetishes and kinks. So actually starting off stripping was really a good entry point into building up my confidence, loving my body, loving myself, and standing my ground, learning how to say yes and no on a lot of things, so that when I turn on the camera and I'm a cam girl, I still incorporate a lot of those things that I learned as a stripper, and it still helps me today.
Yeah, I want to ask you about the cam shows and some of the fetishes that you're hitting and how you're dealing with those fans. But I actually have a curiosity question about stripping still then, because, you know, there's a lot of controversy going on. The strippers in California asked to be made employees instead of contractors. And then once they got that, they realized that that's not, they don't want to be employees. So now there are strippers protesting at the Capitol and at news events all over the state. What are your thoughts on that? Should strippers want to be contractors or employees, or do you even have a thought in that department?
My only opinion is that I think as long as the stigma is there, there's no point in becoming an employee, because it doesn't matter if the stigma and the judgment is there. It's very difficult for women and men who are strippers, cam girls, and other things in the industry to rent a place, to go into a bank and say, hey, this is my job, this is what I do. And as long as that is still there in this country, I think making someone an employee, especially like in the stripper world, that's just going to be so difficult, because now you have to say it. Now you have to say, I'm a stripper and I work at this club. And if you try to rent a place, they can say anything they want. They can say, oh, we hired somebody else for so-and-so reason, and you can't really say they lied. So as long as a stripper is an independent contractor, they still have many other ways and many other chances to rent a place and to get a car and to get all the things that they want to do. I hate that. I hate that, you know, women in the industry still have to jump through hoops just to get certain basic things like that. But if we can't fix the judgmental attitude that is so pervasive, I just don't think there's any point in trying to make them employees. That's my only opinion about it.
No, and I agree. It's horrible, and it's something that we just, there's just certain things in this country that we're moving on from little by little. I mean, when I was a child, marijuana was thought to be this horrible drug that would fry your brains. And now we look back and laugh at those days. We know that marijuana has so many wonderful healing and curing properties. And I encourage, and I'm sort of part of this decriminalized sex work movement that's starting to pop up in every city. Because I think that kind of goes along with it, is that we need to decriminalize sex work, get rid of the stigma, and accept that a good part of our society are entertainers of all kinds. All right, well, let's...
Yeah, that's exactly right.
There you go. See, Amber agrees with me. By the way, everyone, you're listening to Let's Talk Adults with Glenn King, and our guest today is the beautiful Amber Alina. And Amber, what is your Twitter and Instagram real quick so people can look you up?
So my Twitter is Amber Alina XXX. And my Instagram is amberalina.x.
There you go. Beautiful pictures on there. And you'll see she has amazing face. You'll get to the boobs, but I think first you're going to be blown away by her beauty. All right, thank you. You started working, doing cam shows. I know so many wonderful ladies who perform in cam shows, and they have different... In fact, we used to do cam shows at my studio, and you meet some of the most interesting people doing cam shows. So tell us about some of the more interesting people you've met through cam shows.
Oh my gosh. I meet all kinds of people and I don't even know where to start. Oh my goodness.
Start with the weird ones. I always love hearing those stories because we used to have Lyra Law would come in and do cam shows, my studio, and Lily Lane. And they would then finish the show and go, all right, so a guy just paid me for 45 minutes to watch me watch him slash a sled or smash a sledgehammer into his balls. And I'd be like,
well,
okay.
I'll start off with, I'll take it into two parts of the weirdness. So for example, the cam company that I work for, we have a list of no-nos that I just can't do, but I still get asked quite frequently to do certain things. Like, I can't do a pee show, but I get asked all the time to do it anyway. And one of the weird shows that I've done is a guy asked me to take a dildo and to get a knife and to chop up the dildo.
Okay.
He said that it really got him off and he just enjoyed watching that. So I literally got a knife and just started cutting a dildo into pieces. And he's still a client of mine, but he has very weird fetishes like that.
Was there dialogue that went like with this? Did he want you to yell at him and say, I'm chopping up your dick. Look at you, you worthless.
No, actually, he told me to smile. That was the creepiest part of the whole thing. He said, I don't want you to say anything. I just want you to take the knife, just cut up the dildo, and the whole time, be quiet and smile for me. And he was serious. I've been asked to do very weird food shows. Like, I've been asked to take eggs and to... basically crush them on my boobs. I've been asked to take diapers and to wear them. This is just getting weirder and weirder.
But it's wonderful because it allows people to be anonymous. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with a guy out there. And I know you know that there's nothing wrong out there with a guy who has a diaper fetish. But 20 years ago or 30 years ago, he had no outlet for that. And he would have, the worst part is that he might have had to go to the video store. We used to have video stores where people got their porn. And then there would be like a section for like diaper fetish. And the guy would have to stand there hoping that no one from his work came in to see, you know, and spotted him and thought, oh my God, did you realize that Stanley has a diaper fetish, you know? But now he can do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's actually true. One of the other kinds of shows I do quite often is I have guys who will turn on their camera and they will wear like girl clothes or panties, they'll wear bras and stuff like that. And it really makes them happy. And they're really sweet guys. It's not weird at all. They're not creepy. It's just something that it's definitely an outlet for them. And they see me time and time again, and it really makes them happy. So you're absolutely right. I'm glad that through camming, a lot of men that have different kinks and fetishes, they feel comfortable enough to do that.
Yeah. And do you think that, well, do you do boy-girl cam shows or no? Probably not, right?
Nope. I've always been solo for camming.
And that's what guys want, though, right? If I mean, I know if you did boy-girl shows that guys would watch it, but don't you think that the majority of your customers would actually want one-on-one personal interaction with them more than they would?
I do. I've talked to quite a few cam girls about it and quite a few cam guys and guys in the porn industry, and it's the opinion on it, I think, is a bit 50-50, but my opinion is exactly what you said. I think most men really do want that one-on-one experience with a girl. Offering the boy-girl thing, it's fun, but I think that that's more, there are sites more catered to that, like Chatterbait, which I'm not on. So I think that certain cam sites, they have a reputation or are known for, like, we offer more male stars or more BG stars, but the sites that I work for, like MSC, that's just strictly female. And StreamMate offers boy-girl, but you don't see it a lot, and I do agree. I think that the majority of clients just want that one-on-one girl experience.
Yeah, I think the future of porn is going to be virtual reality and interactive. I mean, right now we're going that way. If you look at, you know, my website, meanbitches.com, costs $30 to join. And people who hesitate and say, oh, $30 to get 1,500 scenes, I don't know, will then that spend $200 on a cam show that same night. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm fine with it. But it just shows where we're headed, an interactive, you know, and maybe, like, I think at some point my role is going to be, I'm going to have a studio where I've put in a couple $100,000 into a virtual reality setup. And models will come in and do incredible one-on-one shows with guys wearing helmets and synaptic body suits that let them feel everything. And that'll be porn.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that virtual reality is definitely, there's a huge potential for that to become something really big. I get guys that thank me all the time when we do one-on-one shows, and they will say that a lot of them will say, this is so much better than being at a strip club, and they'll say that over and over again. So I definitely think times have changed and men are just more comfortable with that one-on-one experience with women online, definitely.
It's the only kind of porn that I watch personally. I put on my Oculus headset and watch porn with the girl, you know, right on top of me. Well,
wow.
We're going to ask Amber about her porn career and how she branched off from cams into porn. But first, I need to tell you guys about our sponsor, Sext Panther, S-E-X-T Panther. So by now, you've been listening to Amber's voice for 20 minutes, her beautiful voice. You've fallen in love with her. You want to know how you can become more intimate with her and get to know her better. One of the ways is cam shows, but another way is Sext Panther.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. Okay, so this is great. Fans, you can get to know Amber through Sext Panther. You can talk to her on the phone. You can text with her, exchange pictures back and forth, exchange videos. You can ask questions. All of those things allow you to get to know Amber or many of the other performers who have been on this show. Christy Canyon is on Sext Panther. Christina Rose is on Sext Panther. Eva Nadi is on Sext Panther. All of the wonderful ladies that you're getting to know on the show, you can now get to know intimately by sexting with them. So go check out Sext Panther if you want to get to know your favorite performer. That's in the case of Amber Alina. That's going to be sextpanther.com, S-E-X-T. PANTHER.com/Amber-Alina.
For Sext Panther, there's no dash. It's just Amber Alina.
Gotcha. Okay. Sexpanther.com/AmberAlina. And if you are one of the many thousands of performers who listen to our show, let me send you to Sex Panther as well. It is such a great way for you to get in touch with your fans, get to know them better, and monetize your huge following that you might have on Twitter or Instagram. So if you're not already if you're a performer and you're not already on Sex Panther, go to sexpanther.com and sign up so that you can start communicating with your fans. And by the way, you get to control the whole show. You're not giving out your real phone number. You're giving them a way of contacting you without having to give out your personal information, and you turn it on or off whenever you want to. So everybody go try out sextpanther.com, whether you are a performer or somebody who wants to get to know a performer. sextpanther.com. So there you go, Sex Panther. All right, now let's get into some more fun stuff with Amber here. So recently, after 3 years doing cam shows, you branched off and started doing some boy-girl scenes.
Yes, that's right.
Round of applause for that. I've seen them. They're just, or at least I've seen trailers for them. Fantastic. Just amazing.
Thank
so how
you.
Did this how did this happen?
I don't really know. Like, I never really thought I was going to get into the porn industry, but as a cam girl, over time, people kept asking me, they were like, you should do it. You should try it. Just try it. And it was just something that was always in the back of my mind, and I started to wonder, should I? And I think that's how I got into it, honestly, was I was like, okay, I've been a stripper, and I've done camming, so why not try porn? And
yeah.
I guess I just got into it like that. I was like, okay, I just want to see if I can do it. Like, let me see if I can just do it and see what happens. And then I did. The first scenes that I did was for a company called Scoreland, and I had a blast. So after that, then Brazzers got in touch with me, and then I started doing stuff for them, and it's been a really great experience for me. So I love it.
Yeah, so Scoreland is one of the companies that really loves to discover new talent, especially big boob talent. So you're right up their alley. Did they, without sharing the exact rates that they paid you, did they pay you an exorbitant rate, or, you know, was it more than your expectations, or were you, you know, like, what kind of feelings did you get when they gave you their initial offer?
Honestly, I think they did amazing. I still have no idea what the normal prices are for a scene in porn. Like, on Twitter, I've heard girls, they will tweet that it's $1,000 to $2,000, and then some girls have said it's, you know, as little as $400 to $1,500. Like, I have no idea what the normal price is, but what they offered me, I thought it was pretty good. And I still think that it's pretty good. And they treated me very well. They took care of my flights, my hotel. And as I've gotten more and more into the porn industry, I've discovered that every company is a little bit different, and not every company does things the same way, but they all do ask what I want to charge. They seem to have a kindness towards allowing the girl and guy to express what our rates are, and I really like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're an independent contractor. You can set your own rates. And if somebody offers you a rate that's below what you're comfortable with, you can always say no. And you have the right to decline to work with any performer, and so on. And, you know, the average rate in our industry is about $1,000. But as you point out, there are low-end companies who pay as little as $200 or $400. And, you know, somebody like you should never, ever, ever take a job that pays $400. But on the other hand, if you were $400 short of your rent and somebody offered you a $400 job, it's not wrong to take it if, you know, if that's what your best option is at that time. But keeping your rate.
I was just going to say, Yeah, I was just going to say, I think accepting rates and also determining what your own rates are, that's a completely personal decision. I would never look down on anyone for choosing a different rate than me, and no matter if they, whatever their profession is, it doesn't matter. So I completely agree with that. And yes, I'm also independent. I don't have an agency as well, but you're absolutely right. They've done really great by me, and other porn companies, definitely everyone has their own rules. But so far for me, I've not encountered any issues. So knock on wood.
Yeah, you know, and thank you for saying that, because every day it seems like now I'll see somebody on Twitter who's chastising or criticizing other performers for working for lower rates. And I just think to myself, boy, you don't know her situation. You know, maybe it's easy for you to say to, you know, to this performer who's on Twitter trying to talk down to the other performers. You know, maybe it's easy for her because she's got income, but if you're trying to put food on the table, it's, you know, it's not always easy to stick to the highest rates that you want to. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So, and I mean, a company and people, like, I agree with you. I don't like that either. I feel like if somebody really wants to work with you, it doesn't matter the rate that they offer or the rate that you determine. If somebody likes your look and what you're about, they will pay whatever price that is, as high or as low. I don't think that overall that brings the company down, that brings the industry down. It's a personal decision. But
yeah, absolutely.
People want to charge whatever they want, it really doesn't matter, in my opinion. And I don't think that it overall brings the industry down as a whole. I really don't.
I agree. Yeah, somebody asked me on my Curious Cat recently, what rate should I charge on my OnlyFans? And my answer is, what you want is to make the most money at the end of the month. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't do you any good to say, well, I charge $50 if you only have three people signed up. If $10 is the price that gets you 100 people signed up, then maybe that's where you want to go. But the bottom line is you have to look at the big picture as opposed to just the I'm a higher rate girl, and then feel like you're better than others and so on.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. So Scoreland contacts you. They make you an offer that makes you happy. They fly you out to Florida. You get on your first set. What are you feeling when you walk onto your first ever porn set?
Nervous.
Of course.
I was so nervous, but they were really nice. The videographer, the makeup artist, and the guys that I got to work with on set were super sweet to me. Everybody made me feel truly at home. So my nerves, by the time I got in front of the camera, I mean, it was still kind of there, but not as much as when I first saw the set. So those people really helped out with that, with making me feel good and just laughed pretty much the whole time.
And that's where I first came across your name, is I saw their trailer and it immediately struck me that you stand out in many, many ways. Aside from the huge boobs, again, it's that face of yours, those eyes. You're the kind of performer that if you've got 40 scenes that are all lined up in a tube site, that your scene is going to jump out and stand out. And that's a huge thing. And I'll bet you Scoreland has asked you back already. In fact, I know you've been back at least once, right?
So. Not yet. They have asked me back. I'm about to shoot some scenes with them very soon.
Yeah.
They have asked me back, and I'm very excited to work with them again.
No doubt. Yeah, yeah. And who was the male talent that you worked with that day?
Brad Newman.
Okay. I'm not really familiar with him, but did you like him? Was he gentle? And did he appreciate that it was your first scene and treat you that way?
I did. He was the very first guy that I did a porn scene with. And I'll never forget that because he was such a gentleman. He really was. We had great conversations. He was sweet, just a very warm-hearted guy. And so that scene that I did with him, the chemistry that was there, all of that was very real because he made me feel good and he's just a great person.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want for your first scene. So then you got your offer from Brazzers to do your next scene. Brazzers, that's California now, right? So you went to Los Angeles for that scene, or you live in Los Angeles?
I went to LA for that scene.
Okay.
Yes.
So how did that one come about? Because you don't have an agent. They just email you and say, hi, we're Brazzers, and we'd love to shoot you?
That one came about, like, either very randomly or an act of fate. I'm not sure. Because
okay. It was meant to be.
Yes, I think so, because Brazzers, they ask people on, this came about on Twitter, actually. Brazzers, like other porn companies, they'll ask occasionally on Twitter, who would you like to see us shoot next? And they asked, and one of my followers on Twitter, they asked Brazzers and Kieran Lee. They tagged them both and was like, please look at Amber, look at her pictures, please work with her. And Kieran Lee, he saw it and he reached out to me first.
Yeah.
And through him, he told me that he sent my pictures to whoever at Brazzers and they were like, yeah, get her in, let's do this. So that's how that came about.
Yeah. Kieran's a great guy. So I know you enjoyed performing with him. How would you say your second scene, or it's really not necessarily your second scene, but your second set was different than Scoreland, where you did your first one?
Yeah, through Scoreland, so I worked with Brad Newman, I worked with Donnie Rock, and I worked with, who else, Cody Steele and Sam Shock. And so I did about four scenes through Scoreland. With my second set with Kieran, it was very different. But it was still great. It was different in the sense that for the first time through Brazzers, I had to memorize lines, which was a little bit challenging for me.
Yeah.
So, and with Scoreland, one of the advantages of me being a cam girl was that they let me ad-lib. They let me just make up whatever I wanted to say, and I loved it because I was like, oh, great, I do that all the time as a cam girl. I can do this. And with Brazzers, I didn't get to really do that. They had a script, and that was a bit more challenging for me. So I was kind of nervous about that, but then I got on set, and everybody just kept cracking jokes and making me laugh, and people were just having fun. So I started to relax, and it was fine when I started to mess up my scenes. They laughed with me and let me do a few retakes. So I was like, okay, great. This doesn't have to be perfect.
Yeah, that's good. You know, as a director who's been around for a long time, I want to make a side note to all of you who are listening, who are aspiring up-and-coming directors, you want to get in the business. Don't show up with a script unless you really know what you're doing. It's A, going to make the models uncomfortable. Many of them are not trained on how to memorize dialogue and pages of dialogue, and it'll look stiff. And the people that are watching are probably going to just skip right through it anyway. So be careful doing that. What I recommend, and there's no right and wrong way to do things, but I recommend that you have a vision in your head and tell the actors what their motivation is. What's the scenario that you're doing? So as an example, we just shot the scene for Cuck Queen last week, my feature that I'm working on. Or I shot one yesterday, actually, in a gym. So yesterday's scene was with London River, and she goes into a gym, and Marcus London is this guy in the gym, and he's hitting on her and trying to have sex with her and very obnoxious. So she turns out she's very wealthy. So she picks up the phone and calls somebody and buys the gym, and then tells him she's going to fire him unless he gets on his knees and starts kissing her feet and worshiping her ass and stuff like that, and becomes her sex slave. And my point here is that if you watch the first 90 seconds of this scene, you're going to say, wow, the acting is unbelievable. What chemistry between those two performers. And I accomplished that not by giving them a script, but by just basically telling each of them what we're trying to get out of this scene and what's their motivation. And then the two of them improvised it out. So that's something that you could do. Wouldn't it have been nice if on the Brazzers set, they would have had you just improv instead of doing the specific lines, right?
It would have been nice, but I have a personality type where I like a challenge. So yeah. It worked out.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Well, we're going to ask Amber about her boobs and about the challenges and the joy of being a big boob model. But first, we need to talk about our sponsor, Blue Chew, bluechew.com. So Blue Chew is the world's first chewable erectile dysfunction pill that comes with the same active ingredients as Cialis and Viagra. In other words, they now have generics for those and you can get them. You get your Blue Chew online. All you got to do is go to their website and you type in this little box, hey, I've got erectile dysfunction or I need better hard-ons. And a doctor will review it and make you a prescription and bam, it comes right to your house in a discreet package. So it's way better than going to an actual physical doctor in the office and explaining that your dick doesn't get hard enough for your liking and then going to a pharmacy and asking for the pills. I am a Blue Chew customer. I am a 50-year-old man who performs in porn videos, believe it or not. And I do it by using Blue Chew. Last week, you know, I've been keeping you guys up to date. We're now finished shooting Cuck Queen. So in a few weeks, we're going to start my next big epic work. It's going to be a POV thing where different scenarios, women will force me to become their sex slaves. And I need to have the confidence that when I walk on set that I'm going to be able to have a good erection. Otherwise, I could waste all the money that I'm spending as the producer on bringing in the talent, the makeup artist, the crew, the location, etc. And so I use Blue Chew, and I know that it will work for you as well. So I'm going to make it a no-brainer for you by giving you a promo code that will give you a free shipment of Blue Chew so that you can try it. So go to the website, sign up. And then type in adult, A-D-U-L-T, in the promo box, and Blue Chew guys are going to ship you an absolutely free shipment, with the exception that you got to pay the $5 for shipping, but the pills themselves will be free. And then you will go and find my Twitter, which is GlennKingXXX, and tweet me a thank you. And make sure you do this right. I want you to say, thank you, Glenn. I am amazed. This product is really, really does the job. So I know you'll do that. So there you go. That's Blue Chew.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only, Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Let's get back to Amber Alina, who I know appreciates when she's on a porn set and the male performer has taken Blue Chew or some other supplement and is ready to work. So, right? You haven't experienced that yet, I'm sure. Or maybe you have. Have you been in any situations where the guy was struggling to keep his wood?
In porn? Yeah. Not yet.
Good. Well, you will. It'll happen. And, you know.
Oh, no, I take that back. Actually, yes. There's a scene that hasn't come out yet, but through Score, I did a two-boy-girl scene. It's not out yet. And one of the guys, he did have a little bit of difficulty with it, but he said that it wasn't me. He just, I don't know if he was kind of nervous or something, but there were times that he did have a little bit of difficulty there. I'm not sure why, but yeah, it still turned out to be a pretty great scene though.
It happens. It happens quite often. And, you know, the problem is for the guy is that his first thing he's thinking to himself is, oh my God, she's so beautiful. She's so gorgeous. I got to get wood. Then as soon as he gets the wood and he penetrates you, he's thinking to himself, oh my God, this is so wonderful. Don't pop, don't pop, don't pop. So then he's thinking to himself, okay, who's the third baseman for the Yankees in 1977? And then who played shortstop? You know, and trying to go different places in his head. And then it's like, okay, now I got to keep my wood. And then the director says it's time for the pop. And now it's a whole different thing. And it's so difficult sometimes to be able to get your dick to do what you want to at the right times. But that, again, is where I recommend every male talent just use the pills, because it'll increase your confidence and just make it easier for you in your head to not get focused on those things. Let's ask Amber about her boobs, because this is what everybody wants to talk about with you. Your boobs are they're what's the word I'm looking for? Humongous. Your boobs are humongous. They're amazing.
Thank
and we
you.
Used to do this in the industry, and it's going to end up where you're going to be feature dancing and you know, so in demand for those giant boobs. So how did this happen? Did you always know you wanted to have giant boobs put in, or is this something that sort of occurred to you later on?
Yeah, I have always wanted bigger boobs. This is my third breast procedure. Naturally, I'm a B cup, and I just always knew that I wanted bigger boobs. I know one of the things that's in right now for women is having a curvy body and a big booty. And
right now, that's
that.
Something through the entire history of mankind.
Oh, I guess, yeah, you're right. It's so crazy. No, you're right. It's, I don't know, growing up, it wasn't that way for me. I don't know if it's where I'm from, but I had that body, naturally. I had the bigger butt and just being curvy, and I didn't have the boobs, and I didn't really like that so much. I always just wanted to enhance my tits. So when I finally got to do it, I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop with the first surgery or the second one. And I might have one more after this one. I might
Good.
Have one more.
I am all for it. I applaud it. And I think it's so wrong that guys will sit there telling girls on Twitter and whatever, oh no, you're everyone appreciates your natural look, don't wear makeup, don't get big tits, whatever. And it's like, you're not necessarily giving her the you're giving her the information she wants to hear, but you're not necessarily giving her the correct information for her career, because big
I
boobs
hate it. I hate that. Oh my gosh, yes, I hate it across the board. I don't like when men or women get down on other women for choosing to enhance their features in any way, whether it's their butt, their breasts, their lips, whatever. I don't like that, because I think it's a personal decision, and I don't care. Personally, I think women can do whatever they want. So if they want to stay completely natural, great. And if a girl doesn't, that's great too. I really wish that
right.
that could be emphasized more, that it sounds so cliche, but it's not, to say that everyone is beautiful. So if a girl decides to keep her natural breasts, that's
right.
wonderful. But
right.
if a girl
right.
decides not to, I think that's just as equally great.
Absolutely. And what you're doing when you're an adult entertainer is you're investing in your own self. You know, cosmetic enhancements are simply I hate to put this into cold terms, but you're a provider in the same way that a store is a retail outlet, and you have to decorate your store and provide the most appealing look to get people to come into your store. And when you're an adult entertainer, you got to provide the most appealing look to get people to want to watch your videos. And so investing in your cosmetic self just makes sense. So we had Victoria June on the show quite a while ago, and she said she embraces bimboism. She said, I know people call me a bimbo sometimes to make fun of me, but she says, fuck that. I am a bimbo, and I am proud to be the best bimbo in the world. And so I don't know how you feel about that word, because you're not a bimbo in terms of you're articulate and smart, but do you hate it when somebody calls you a bimbo, or do you embrace it?
I love it. I embrace
yeah.
it.
Good.
I think it's great. I like to be called a bimbo
yeah.
or Barbie. I think all of these words are wonderful. Slut, vixen, bimbo, just whatever. I think it's all great. And I personally, I love to be called a bimbo because that's exactly what I've done to my body. I've been striving after a certain look that I do think fits the word bimbo very much.
Embrace it. Own that damn word. Be proud. Why not?
Yes.
And there's, you know, like I said, when you go and look at the models, the performers who are building their brands, making the most money, in a lot of cases, it is the ones that have enhanced themselves. So, you know, I look at it as just investment. Well, we're running sort of out of time here. So I've got two more questions for the wonderful Amber. Number one, let's get personal with her a little bit. I know everybody wants to know a little bit more about your personal life. Just tell us about your perfect date. If a guy manages to get you out on the town, what's the best strategy here?
Let's assume we're already dating. The best date for me is that he is okay with me dressing how I want to. I really do like to wear revealing tight clothes, especially
slutty. You could say the word slutty. Slutty's a good word.
Yeah. I do. I like to dress slutty for a date, and I need a guy who's comfortable with that and who's okay with me showing off my tits and my body. So that would be the number one thing. Second, I'm an easy date. It's very cheap when it comes with drinks and food. I really am. I'm not picky, and it doesn't take me long to, you know, I don't need much to drink either. So dates are very simple for me. I like the simple stuff. I like movies. I like shopping. I like going to the beach. Just, I'm really easy to make happy.
Okay. Well, there you go, guys. Make your plan involving encourage her to wear slutty clothes. Be proud of it. You really should be moving here to Vegas where I'm at. So that's pretty much what everyone wears. Grocery stores full of women in slutty clothing. And that's why I live here. Well, but are you passionate about some kind of hobby like golfing or reading romance novels or anything?
I do like to read. I don't talk about that much, but yeah, in my private life, I really do like to read all kinds of things. I think reading's important. And what else do I like to do? I really do enjoy going to the beach. That is a hobby of mine. And I try to go as much as I can. It's not just showing off. It actually, I feel super peaceful and calm when I get to sit out by water. I don't know why, but water is very calming to me. So those are probably two big hobbies of mine, reading and the beach.
Yeah, I'm with you. When I go to a beach or to a resort or whatever, I'm so boring. All I want to do is just go lay by the water, just sit there.
Yeah.
Read my book. And then everybody's like, oh, they're having a big foam blast thing with a DJ over there in pool number 7. And I'm like, yeah, you go ahead. I'm just going to hang out here and read my book and lay by the water. So,
yeah, I don't know. I've kind of gotten that out of my system. I mean, I still love to go to music festivals and hear a DJ. But after being a stripper, it's like I've kind of done that. So it's still fun, but it's not my, oh, yes. Kind of thing. I'm like, no, I just want to relax a little bit.
I do feel like, so, you know, when I was a kid, I really didn't have a father who was around. And so at age 16 or 15, I started drinking heavily and, you know, just like blackout drunk every night at age 17. By the time I got to college, everyone else was so excited about being able to drink for the first time. I was actually sitting there going, well, I've already done that, fellas. I'm going to class. I'm going to get a job and make something of myself. So I think everyone should do that. So here's a recommendation for you from a guy who has no kids and would be a terrible parent, that if you have a kid, get the kid to start doing drinking and drugs at an early age so that he gets that out of his system or her system. There you go. That's my recommendation. That's not from Amber. She may have better advice. All right, last question for Amber here. So 3 years as a successful webcam artist, you have some skills and experience that could benefit others, and we always like to sort of go to the advice bag over here. So if you could go back in time now to 18-year-old Amber, whenever, however old you were when you started, what advice would you give to her as she starts her webcam career?
Oh, my goodness. The advice that I would give to her is to shrug off the haters, both male and female, because it comes, a lot of it. Don't take things too seriously, especially criticism. Whether they're meant to help or harm, just don't take much of it seriously. To have a really good work ethic, just to work hard and understand that if you don't make a lot one day, it's okay, and that that's not a reflection of you. To just keep working hard, and everything will happen as it's meant to. That is what I would have said to my 17, 18-year-old self.
18. right.
Oh, yes, that's right, 18.
Definitely 18. Yeah, so, you know, again, we did those cam shows at my studio quite a bit, and here's one thing I discovered that I hope you would agree with in terms of for the other cam performers. Do not waste your time as a cam performer engaging with trolls who come into your chat room and just want to insult you and try to get a reaction out of you. All you're doing is giving them what they want. Just block and ban them out of your room and never acknowledge them, and they'll go away. But if you argue with them and fight with them, they'll be so happy they'll come back every night. You agree?
Yes and no. I think that it's really great to take the high road, and the saying, the silence is golden. I think that only works up to a certain point, but sometimes there are trolls that are super aggressive. They never stop, and it doesn't matter if you say something or not. So I actually would say that it's okay to engage a little bit if it makes you feel that you're standing up for yourself. Sometimes not saying anything at all can do more damage inside to a performer than to actually, for a few moments, stand up and say whatever you want to say. So I think that either one can be good. It's not always right to engage in, you know, with another troll. But sometimes if you're feeling like you're angry and you just got a lot bottled in and you don't want to take it anymore, it's okay to just say whatever you want if it makes you feel better. I think that that's okay too sometimes.
I think you make a great point, because the cam shows that we were doing in my studio, we would have an engineer working in the booth at all times, and I was there most of the time. So if a performer was suddenly feeling like, you know, she takes some hits to her self-esteem from these aggressive trolls, we were there to laugh with her and say, hey, come on, you're absolutely beautiful. Don't listen to this guy that just called you a pig head or whatever. And but if you're doing these cam shows by yourself, I can see how it would be a little bit challenging to sit there and be insulted over and over again without starting to have it get a little depressing if you don't fight back a little bit. So yeah,
exactly. It's not the same case for everybody, but I know for me, there have been times that I work very long hours sometimes. So if I turn on the camera for a 6 to 8 hour shift, and I've got a troll that, or several trolls that just are constantly there, sometimes it is better for me to just say a little something, even if it's sarcasm, because it just kind of helps me to get through it. And sometimes it equally works to not say anything at all. I'm just saying that it's okay either way. And I think that if it gets too aggressive and it happens too often and too much, sometimes it is okay just to have that little bit of release and say, you know what, I'm just going to say a smart alecky comment. And sometimes that can be just enough to keep you going. And instead of saying nothing at all and secretly hurting inside, sometimes a lot of girls will just go quite early because they've been hurt and they don't even acknowledge it within themselves. But it's okay to say a little something to make yourself feel better too. You don't always have to take that hit and just act like it's going to go away, because sometimes it's not. So it's good to stand up for yourself sometimes too, is my point.
Absolutely. There you go. Great advice from Amber Alina. Amber, by now, everybody that's watching or listening to the show wants to check you out. So talk to us about all of your social media. Where's all the places people can find you and see you in action?
So my social media, it's very simple. Just Twitter and Instagram. That is it right now.
In Sex Panther.
Oh, that's right. Also, Sex Panther, streaming my free cams.
Yeah.
Those are the best ways to connect with me online and get to know me better.
So that's amberalina.cammodels.com is where you're going to go for her streammate. In fact, just go to her Twitter. That's where all her links are. So you can check out her Twitter and her Instagram, a lot of great stuff there. What are we going to be seeing from you in 2019? Are you going to be doing more porn? Are you going to start doing feature dancing? What's on the horizon?
I'm keeping a very open mind, but definitely I'm scheduled for more scenes very soon. So I'm super excited about that. I'm still going to be a cam girl. I'm just in love with that. So as far as feature dancing, no plans for that yet. So I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I can tell you will. I mean, a little bit presumptuous here, but you're made for feature dancing, your body, your looks, et cetera. So I can imagine that you're going to be very successful in that area. All righty. Well, thank you very much for listening, everybody. If you are one of our listeners, we now have over 50,000 subscribers. I'm so excited to say, and that was last time I checked, which was 2 or 3 weeks ago. So probably more than that now. But if you are listening to the show, but you have not subscribed yet, this is the one thing that I ask of you for the incredible entertainment that we give you is go subscribe. In fact, I really don't even care if you listen to the show. I just want you to subscribe because that's how advertisers and other people measure us, is how many subscribers we have. So whether you are on iTunes, Spreaker, Spotify, TuneIn, iHeartRadio, or YouTube, or Google Play, go ahead and hit that subscribe button and give us a 5-star review and tell everybody how much you love Amber Alina. So thank you very much for listening today, and do remember to check out the great Amber Alina. Goodbye, everybody.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right.
What is this? This looks good.
Wow.
That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is firefighter Rafael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.